This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Hope you're having a great Tuesday. There is no shortage of topics today.
Do we have a football game tonight?
Not this Tuesday. No, last Tuesday we had a football game.
We're getting cheated.
We had two yesterday. And I do want to say to Matt Nagy, when's his next Zoom call? Am I allowed on those things?
No, you're not.
I can't get on.
Close.
I mean,
no.
Nope. Can I steal like JD's passcode?
I don't think JD wants you sitting in for him, not knowing whether or not you'll bark.
Will Potsy give me his?
He may.
Potsy's coming on with us today at 4.
That may be welcome by the staff up at Hallis Hall.
Right, yes. So I could, like, from his passcode, because he usually asks tough questions to begin with, I could start the Zoom questions by saying, hey, Matt, did you see the Chiefs game? You know, it's good for him when he wants to throw out the Colts game.
Well, I mean, and then if I'm mad, I look at you through Zoom and say, hey, Sylvie, have you seen the Chiefs offensive huddle?
Well, exactly, and they're running the ball.
Yeah.
That's the point.
They can do both. Like, that's why I said this to you at some point last year. If Eric Bieniemy came out and decided to throw it on every down, I would never criticize him because they have the capacity to do it.
And they're a great quarterback, too.
Well, that's the point. They have the capacity. They have the players. They have the personnel. They have the system. They have the whole package. And if Eric Bieniemy came out and said, like maybe he did at halftime yesterday in their win against Buffalo, and said, we're going to run it every time. I know I got Tyreek Hill. I got Kelsey. I got Watson. I got all these guys. We're going to run it. I would say
46 times.
Because they have the personnel that allows them to do whatever it is that they really want to do. And it's such a luxury because when you face a team that's good against the pass, you run it. When you face a team that's good against the run, you throw it. I mean, that's why one of these things is not like the others. But you give them credit because they don't get locked in anything. They don't get hard-headed. They see stuff, they adjust, and then they beat you. They can beat you right-handed. They beat you left-handed.
Yes, yes. And look, I want the Bears to...
I'm envious.
And they are beating teams, so that's all I care about. But I do think what's good for the Chiefs is good for... We always used to say with New England.
That's right. If it's good enough.
They haven't even gotten Le'Veon Bell yet. Like, if all of a sudden they ran the ball 46 times when they added Le'Veon Bell to what they have, and we're like, okay. Like, this was even before Le'Veon Bell. And I know the track was slippery. It was raining most of that game. But, again, I think Matt needs to look at that. But anyway.
Yeah, no, but I'm with you. At some point, you have to challenge your front five and just say, you know what, we're going to run this football. And if you can't do it, well, then
get a new front five.
Yes, then you're going to have to, the turnstile is going to have to turn.
That's what has bothered me the most of this constant debate in the last 36 hours about, well, the Bears don't trust their offensive linemen. Well, why did they only change coaches in the offseason and add a Fetty? Like, that's unacceptable. The coach was a part of the personnel stuff.
I believe he was.
So I don't want to get this BS that he's not to blame.
Sylvie's got a red ass.
Yeah, I do have a red ass today, too, yes.
I almost
pooped myself today jumping on the trampoline.
Did you really?
Yeah, well, you know, these last several months, I'm still not all together yet. I mean, things are good.
All right, need to be bound up a little?
I'm still not totally... Yeah, things aren't operating full steam.
Okay, but you can get on the what's the device you use?
Well, this was like I jump on this mini trampoline as part of my workouts.
Oh, okay.
To get the lymphatic system going
gotcha.
A little bit better.
But you have what's the machine you use?
An elliptical?
Yes, you do the treadmill? Elliptical, don't you?
Yeah, I have a treadmill and an elliptical.
You don't poop yourself on the elliptical, do
depends.
You?
Depends what day it is.
Maybe depends is the next thing I buy you.
Yeah, I could use it too, yes. It was the summer of pooping myself, I'll tell you that. I set the record for myself. But
as a 48-year-old man, I think that's quite impressive.
49.
Oh, that's right, 49.
Yeah. So anyway, there's many ways to get a hold of us. 312-332-3776 is the phone number. We also have the Twitch channel, which has been hopping. The Bears like to say that they had a party plane on Sunday.
Yeah.
It's got nothing compared to our party plane that is the Twitch channel. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Great way to watch, listen, and interact with us and other listeners.
Well, and you may every now and again catch a little something that may or may not have been intended for you. Like, I got a little stupid one time several weeks ago and took my shirt off. Yesterday, I think Mark Giangreco made a motion that probably was not Twitch worthy.
Yeah.
But you may have caught it.
I wasn't watching then. No, I wasn't watching.
Did you catch it? The move that Mark made? I guess the point
was a hand signal, was it not?
The point is that you never know what's going to happen visually on Twitch. So that should tell you you better never not be on Twitch.
It's the opposite of the Bears offense. It's unpredictable.
Oh, you know, we did some stat work, too. You tell me when you want it, and we're going to just bombard you with some information that may depress you.
Absolutely, right. And Jalen Johnson is going to join us at 2:30. So get in on the fun, 332-3776. I do want to let our listeners know, though, the couple of news items out there. Manti Te'o has been signed to the Bears practice squad. We told you about that. I think it was last Thursday he was in as one of three players working out. So he's on the practice squad now, the former Notre Dame All-American. And I don't know if we're past the point of making jokes, but, you know, still.
We should. Have you seen Twitter in the Twitch chat?
Did he bring the fake girlfriend?
Oh, no. The running joke is that his girlfriend will be the only fan allowed at Soldier Field.
I personally like, Manti Te'o may have a fake girlfriend, but the Bears have a fake running game. So
my favorite is
that's all you got?
No, my favorite is telling the score from the 2013 national championship game between Alabama and Notre Dame.
Yeah,
that's my
getting,
favorite.
Oh, that's not funny.
That's funny.
Real.
That's good.
That's real.
Waddle, you always said they got trucked.
They got trucked. And that's just the
how about
way
that? Abdallah, the sports guy, coming in with just a sports take there. We're trying to have fun. Mr. E stands for entertainment and ESPN.
And he does, and it stands for Roll Tide.
Sometimes the entertainment's on the field, gentlemen. What can I say?
Okay, all right.
He's all excited about Tua, too. So, I mean, that was surprising.
It's Tua time. Not just that, but, like, he was a sweaty mess in the first half of the Alabama-Georgia game this weekend, gnawing at his fingernails, you know, espousing a whole lot of the, oh, we're going to get beat, we're not going to be any good. And then next thing you know, Alabama opened up a big can of whoop-ass on the Bulldogs in the second half.
I was yelling.
And he was body surfing.
I was yelling in way too nice of a restaurant to be yelling in.
Oh yeah, you were at the new sushi place, right? Nobu?
Yeah, I was at Nobu. Shout out Nobu for my anniversary. Happy anniversary to me.
How many years?
To about you? How about to Whitney?
I was going
to
say it. Can I finish before you interrupt?
You said me. You never lead the happy anniversary with you. I'd like to say happy anniversary to my wife.
No, I thought
you
it was
never
funny.
Start with e happy anniversary to me,
me
and my wife Whitney.
Yeah, to us.
You selfish
to us,
pig.
Wow. To us. So we went out to dinner, and I don't watch the Alabama game on my watch for most of it.
On your watch, really?
Well, yeah, I was getting score updates.
For your anniversary dinner, you're watching.
No. I put the phone was away. The phone was away.
Goodbye, you.
Phone was away during the game, and then once dinner was over, we went to the bar that's right there because there's, like, nobody in there. There was nobody in there.
So do you have your phone set up for every time Alabama scores, it buzzes?
And for the Bears, yeah.
So you put it in your front pocket?
No, it was in my jacket pocket that was away. Okay. Yeah, phone was away. So, and then once the dinner was over, there was TVs in the bar, but there was nobody in there. So we were just like, can we just watch this real quick? And they were like, yeah, just stand there and watch. So I watched it. And then we left. We had a drink, and then we left.
All right. Then there's the Blackhawks news. The Blackhawks have released, they sent a message to their fan base. And to me, what this says, boys, and I'll read it, I think this is like a message that, hey, we're sort of rebuilding. We're sort of rebuilding. And I know Pat Boyle, I think, sat down with Stan Bowman. We could play some later. But here's the message. And then I did a poll question attached to this. says a message to Blackhawks fans. We recently said goodbye to a pair of popular two-time champions and acquired some new players via trade and free agency. We understand it was tough to see those respected veterans go and realize you may have some questions about our direction. We'd like to address that direction and share why we're hopeful for the future of Blackhawks hockey. We're committed to developing young players and rebuilding our roster. We want more than another window to win. We want to reach the summit again and stay there, an effort that will require to stockpile of emerging talent to complement our top players. The influx of youth and their progression will provide roster flexibility and depth throughout our lineup. We were already the youngest team in the 2020 playoffs, and several Blackhawks experienced that intensity for the first time. This will help to further establish a culture that embraces the grind of improvement driven by competitors who are relentless, engaged, and motivated by a team-first mentality to win. Our young players develop and learn how to win consistently. They'll make some mistakes. Inevitably, we'll miss the mark sometimes too, but we'll communicate openly with you on this journey together. We know what comes next must be more than just words, and that inspires us. What did you think?
Well, this is what I said last week. Listen, I'm no Mike Babcock, okay? So sometimes I'm skating blind.
You're close.
I'm skating blind sometimes. But as the casual hockey fan, I look at the Blackhawks and I see Kane, Taves, Kubalik, DeBrincat. Who else do I see? Kirby Dach. And I ask you, why should you go through a full rebuild? Shouldn't you be able to surround those guys with enough talented players that you will be somewhat of a force and a threat in the postseason? Like, why can't you rebuild with Patrick Kane and Taves can still play, can't they?
Yes.
Like, I know some people believe, and I'll defer to them, that maybe they should just move on from everybody and start. But
isn't that halfway, though, too?
If
you're just, like, you still have Duncan Keith. You still have Brent Seabrook's terrible contract.
But the good organizations, regardless of sport, can rebuild and contend at the same time. Like, I don't know why this Blackhawk team would have to, and it sounds like they're not going to do that. I don't know why they'd have to strip it all the way down. I know that they've had no postseason success recently. But when you've got Kane and Taves and some of the other guys, why can't you be better at identifying players that can fill spots that need to be filled, and you guys now become a better overall team? Isn't that what being, you know, your front office personnel people, isn't that what they're charged with?
Yes, and that's been the problem for the last several years, where the pipeline was turned off, and all Stan would do is trade for former Blackhawks that he knows and really haven't helped the cause since 15. And then he hired a coach, and he replaced a legend. And Emily Kaplan also talked to Stan Bowman, and I guess Bowman said that he intends to sign him to an extension. Like, really? Like, I don't even know if he can coach yet. And they're going to extend him?
Yeah, I'm
shocked that Bowman was given this chance. I promised Hawks fans that I thought when they got rid of McDonough that they would ultimately get rid of Stan and let the new hockey guy run the team. But because of maybe COVID, they never hired the new hockey guy. And now Danny's running the team, Danny Wirtz. And so now Stan gets to stay and continue to double down on his bad moves.
More Mike Babcock than I'm Mike Babcock.
Well,
so you
right.
may are Babcock for the show.
Well, right. Look, you I'm don't have saying, to be Mike Babcock to know that Stan Bowman's day is done. And if you're advancing this with Stan Bowman making these important decisions, you're losing.
But in a perfect hockey world, can't you retool and rebuild with some of these talented yet longer in the tooth players? Like, what would you rather see as a Blackhawk fan? Mark Silverman, Blackhawk fan. Do you want to see them gut the whole thing, or do you want to see them try to become more of a threat with Kane and Taves and the other guys?
Well, the question is then, are you finally going to be good enough to compete then when Kane and Taves are basically too old to compete, to win a championship? If championships is your thing, So and then I also did, and 332-3776 if you want to react. And just to bring this kind of full circle and to include all the teams, I put out a poll question brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers.
Which front office do you hate most?
Basically, yes. Of these sports executives, who do you trust the least? And remember, it says the least, because some people have been fooled already, and I did not write out who either. I put W-O. So of these sports executives, who do you trust the least in leading a Chicago sports team? Stan Bowman, Theo Epstein, Rick Hahn, Ryan Pace. I did not include Karnishevich because they are new. They're not established. Those four, we'll discuss that. 332-3776.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, so I'm trusting the least of the executives in Chicago. It's a two-horse race, Waddle. It's between Stan Bowman and Ryan Pace. You got it. And right now, it actually was much closer early. We've already had in 36 minutes, 3,200 votes. So you can vote online. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer at Waddle and Sylvie. 40.7% of the voters are going to Ryan Pace. Or that's me voting a bunch.
Yeah, how many times did you hit that?
And Stan Bowman getting 30.9% of the vote. Theo Epstein still getting a pretty high 17.6% of the vote for Theo.
Yeah, that sounds a little reactionary to me.
And Rick Hahn, 10.8%. So vote online at Waddle and Sylvie. You have a thought on that?
I voted. And I voted for Ryan Pace. The exercise that we did last week with regard to their inability to draft difference-making or even really, you know, competent offensive players consistently has got them where they are right now, where they are on the cusp of wasting a good defense.
Mm-hmm.
So that's – listen, I mean, Dale Tallon deserves a tremendous, obviously tremendous amount of credit for the Blackhawks Stanley Cup championships. No doubt. I'm not. But at some point, Stan Bowman was along for the ride, right? So, I mean, I'm splitting hairs now, but maybe that's why I lean towards Ryan.
Yep.
What Rick Hahn has done. I think Rick Hahn has done a fantastic job.
Sure.
And
I still trust Theo as a Cubs fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not thrilled with everything, and I saw an old post that I had from 2017 that surprised me that I want to read you maybe later in the show if we get to some baseball. But 312-332-3776 is the phone number. Jeff in Beverly, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jeff?
Hi, guys. Sylvia, I just want to tell you two things. One, good luck with you and your dad. I'm the guy that worked with your dad years ago. I introduced myself to you a while ago.
Sure, Jeff, and, the electrician, right?
Yep, I was sorry to hear about that. And when he retired, that was when I was working with him, and I just retired, so it's kind of cool.
That's awesome. Enjoy retirement.
Thank you. I just wanted to say the money that they saved, or not saved, but did not spend on Crawford and Stadleben and whoever else, is that money, do they plan on spending that, if you even know, on new, young free agents, or do they have some guys they have to lock up, or do they have another plan? It's interesting to figure that out.
Yeah, I think they're just going to go young right now. I mean, with the goalie situation, they're giving it to their young guys right now, and they're hoping one of them could establish themselves as being the goaltender. I don't know how much money they even have, to tell you the truth.
I don't either.
Yeah, I mean, because they just extended Kubalik. They finally gave him the deal.
I'd have to blow in a call to Patty Boyle or Eddie O to get the details on what their cap situation is.
Yeah, I don't think they have a lot of money. Jordan in Albany Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, what's up, boys? How's it going?
Good.
We're good.
All right, so I got 2 points here. First, I want to talk about Coach Nagy. And I think we all have, you know, we all have gripes with play calling. I think everybody can agree on that. but I don't think he gets enough credit for being a head coach. And what I mean by that, too, is, you know, as an offensive-minded guy with this team that has struggled this much offensively, you would think that in that locker room, some of the veteran defensive guys would, you know, kind of turn on the team a little bit, or even the Allen Robinson situation when he was deleting everything off Instagram. You know, he was talking about wanting to be traded. He sat down with Nagy once, and then he was team first from there on out. And then the only thing I want to bring up about Ryan Pace, too, that worries me is I've been a Notre Dame fan my whole life, and I watched Cole Kmet all last year. I watched Chase Claypool all last year. And if you're someone who studied Notre Dame's film, I don't know how you could come away with that thinking that Cole Kmet was a better prospect than Chase Claypool. Chase Claypool was the best Notre Dame receiver I've seen in my lifetime, including Michael Floyd, Jeff Samardzija, Golden Tate. And that just worries me that if he studied Notre Dame that much, he came out thinking Cole Kmet was the better prospect than Chase Claypool.
Jordan, sure. I think what they decided was they needed a tight end more than they needed a receiver because the tight end position had given them nothing. So I don't dispute your premise that...
Yeah,
that,
but Pace always says it's best player available.
Well, you know what,
they don't draft by need, they draft by talent.
What people say and what they do quite often is entirely different, and I think we've seen thousands of examples of that. So, I mean, look, I don't dispute what you're saying, and with regard to the issue where the offense abandons, or the defense abandons the offense, it doesn't happen when you're 5-1. But you can't tell me there weren't some red-ass defenders last year when they were 8-8. And you can't tell me that if for whatever reason the offense doesn't pick up the slack and things even out and they find themselves losing more than they're winning because the offense isn't carrying their load, that it will be all blue skies and sunshine.
Right.
At some point, the patience will dim. And that's why I said you just cannot, don't waste this defense. You can't waste this defense because even when you think that there's a hiccup, like, you can't ask a defense. You can, but you're not always going to be rewarded for them to smother the opponent on every single play. But if you look at their body of work since 2018, dang it, like, I'll ride with them every Sunday. It won't always, there'll be some bumps. You'll hit a pothole every now and again, but I'll ride with them. I will ride with this defense. Let's ride with this defense.
But again, like, and Larry Mayer just tweeted the stats about, you know, and they've been doing this a lot. The people in Nagy's corner, as they should, keep accentuating the record. Okay, so here are the last three. His tweet. This is just Larry's tweet. Last three Bears head coaches: Matt Nagy, overall 25-13, 13-6 at home, 12-7 on the road, 10-3 against the division. All really good numbers. John Fox and Mark Trestman combined 27-53 overall. 14-26 at home, 13-27 on the road, 6-24 versus the division.
Why are we measuring height against short people? I mean, I don't get that. Like, why are we using it as a comparison against things that we all were not happy with or satisfied with?
Well, this is what I've always said about getting back to Nagy, is I'm not mad at Nagy, the head coach. I believe he's got a good command. He's built a good culture.
Yep.
They play hard for him. If you look at the things a head coach is responsible of doing, delegating, all of those things, winning the record, all of them check the boxes. I'm mad at Matt Nagy's offensive coordinator. Oh, who's Matt Nagy's offensive coordinator? Oh, it's him. Okay, I'm mad at him.
Yes, it's
because
fair.
They continue to not evolve. They continue to have the exact same problems that they had a couple of years ago when it looked like they had a decent starting point, and they've only gotten progressively worse.
Well, and I believe that he has had a hand and a say in the offensive personnel acquiring. Real quick, I told you yesterday that the Bears at 5-1 are 27th in the league in scoring, and the five teams below them are the Jags, the Broncos, the Washington team, the Giants, and the Jets. Collectively, those teams are 5-24. And we did some statistical work about, has there ever been a team that started the season 5-1 but rated or ranked 27th or worst offensively scoring points?
We didn't do any of the research. It was Jacob Nitzberg, our good friend at ESPN Stats. So
he's good. Yeah, Nitzberg's great.
So this, they can go
this
back
is really
to the,
telling information.
They can go back to the start of the 2001 season. That's when they have True Media, which goes and just does this, finds all this stuff. So in the span of the last 20 seasons, the Bears have the best winning percentage of a team to be ranked 27th or worst in points per game through 6 weeks. So they are the worst team. They're the best team with the worst offense in the last 20 years. The only other team worth mentioning is the 2006 Denver Broncos, who were 4-1 despite ranking 31st in points per game at 12.4 points per game through 6 weeks.
We found out by checking the full season that that team finished 17th in scoring that year.
In the last 20 seasons, only one other team has had a winning percentage of 0.833 or so, 5-1 or better through 6 weeks and been ranked 20th or worse in points per game. And that's the 2013 Patriots, who were 5-1 and ranked 22nd in points per game at 20.83 points per game.
And by the way, by the end of the season in 2013, do you know where the Patriots ranked third overall in scoring?
Really?
Yes. So the moral of the story is what they have done getting to 5-1 with the 27th ranked scoring offense is basically historic in the modern era.
Yes, that's
so
a good
they've
point.
Got to start picking up and helping out their defense because their defense is playing very well.
312-332-3776 if you want to react. We'll talk to a very highly ranked rookie amongst all the rookies and amongst other players at his position. Jalen Johnson is going to join us here coming up in a few minutes.
What's up, everybody? I got to tell you about my new favorite NFL bet this season. I've been playing Same Game Parlays on the FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook, and it's the most fun I've ever had betting. They're pretty simple. All you have to do is combine multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. This way, the payouts are even bigger when you win. That's what's cool, too, is FanDuel will refund the first Same Game Parlay you lose on any NFL game each week up to $10. That means you can bet a different parlay risk free every NFL week all season long. Like yesterday, I had Kyler Murray rushing yards over, the team total over, and the money line, and it cashed, and the odds were better because I combined all those bets into one single parlay, and I cashed out at like 3.5-1. It was great. Now there's one catch. FanDuel is the only sportsbook app that has same game parlay bets. You may have heard that Illinois is requiring new users to create their accounts in person, but for a limited time, that requirement has been waived. So act fast to sign up right from the FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook app before it's too late. So if you don't already have a FanDuel account, just sign up using the promo code Abdallah so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook, promo code Abdallah. Must be 21 or over, present in Illinois or Indiana. Refund issued as a non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days, max refund $10. Terms apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
We continue to talk Bears football as they're 5-1. They're in first place in the division. Jalen Johnson stepped in right away and became a starter, and he's been really good. The Pro Football Focus ratings have him high amongst his position, has him very high.
Not just as a rookie, as an overall cornerback in the NFL.
Right, overall corner. He's ranked high by just position, not year. And then, of course, he's amongst the best rookies. Let's talk to him right now as he joins Waddle and Sylvie on the Corona Hotline. Jalen, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling good, boss. How you doing?
We're doing well. So how would you sum up your first 6 weeks of your NFL career?
I'll just say a learning experience. Because, I've clearly never played an NFL game, didn't have any preseason games. It's just learning by fire, just going out there and just doing the best I can and just trying to learn from those around me.
Jalen, everyone talks about the difference between the college game and the NFL game. What have you found to be the most difficult adjustment or the biggest difference between the two?
I would definitely just say being disciplined and being consistent. Because, you can make one play and then get beat four other plays and you are, according to some people, worse on the field. It's just about being able to do your job consistently and do it efficiently. And that takes discipline at the end of the day. Just being disciplined in your technique and just knowing your assignment and having good eyes.
Jalen, when you decide to go pro, could you have ever envisioned that this is the way the rookie year would look like you mentioned? Very little training camp, no OTAs. I mean, how tough has that been for you?
I couldn't even tell you how tough, because, I don't know what it looked like before. But, right. I can only imagine how much better I could be if I did have that on my side. But, at the end of the day, I didn't. So, I didn't look back, and I still haven't looked back at what could have been. I'm just trying to get better and be the best I can now moving forward.
How helpful has it been for you, Jalen, to have a guy like Kyle Fuller in the huddle with you to help you out in different situations and maybe give you a little bit of advice at times?
It's definitely big. He has plenty of years of experience and years that he played at a very high level. So, he definitely knows the game a lot more than just the average cornerback in the league. So, just being able to hear how he thinks and what he's looking at is just definitely beneficial for me.
How beneficial is it also to play your position behind a pass rush like the one that you guys have?
It's great. it makes everything a lot easier. The ball has to come out because those guys are going to get there. So, honestly, I like working with them because we work in unison in a sense. If the quarterback doesn't have nobody to throw the ball to, they make plays. And if the quarterback has those guys all in their face, they don't always make accurate balls and make bad decisions. So, we all work together and trying to get a victory at the end of the day.
Bears rookie Jalen Johnson joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Who's been the guy to take you under their wing on this defense?
I couldn't even give you anybody specifically, honestly. They all just been trying to feed information into me, and I've just been the sponge soaking it all in. So, just honestly, top to bottom, from the D-line, linebackers, and especially everybody in the secondary room, since that's who I spend the most time with. But, I can point out one. I feel like the defense as a unit is doing a very good job helping me out.
Did you have a surreal moment at all looking across the line and seeing Tom Brady on Thursday Night Football?
I wouldn't say surreal, but, it was definitely like, oh, snap, that's Tom Brady. And then at that same time, I just had to snap back out of it and get back to the task at hand, and I was winning the football game. So, I definitely don't have too much time to really think about a surreal moment or to really be in that moment. Because, I have a job to do at the end of the day.
Are you a trash talker, or are you more of a quiet player? Or does the trash talking come with experience over the course of time? You may be more willing to speak.
Honestly, I feel like for me, it's more time. Because, I make plays, but, at the end of the day, I still have a lot more to do. And I know the player that I can be. And I'm definitely not playing at that level that I know I can. So, for me, it's just about staying in the game and staying focused. I don't have a whole lot of time to trash talk because I'm trying to do the best I can for the situation I'm in.
Does Eddie Jackson pick up the slack for you terms of that on that front?
No, he picks up the slack for a lot of people. I mean, him, McKean, Hicks, and Roquan, they all talk. We have enough talkers on the team. I don't need to be that guy right now.
Jalen Johnson joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. What about Club Dub? And Matt Nagy said that this plane ride was hopping. It was a party. Tell us what the plane ride was like.
The plane ride for me was a lot different from the plane ride for maybe him or some other player. I was asleep. I didn't see the activity, the festivities until I really woke up. But, honestly, Club Dub was fun. And then just from playing right back from what I was able to see at the end, I seen a lot of people standing up and different things like that. So, I would assume it was a pretty fun playing ride.
How would you describe, six games into your rookie season? You were a second round pick, 50th overall, so everyone knew you were a good football player. But so far, you've played as well or better than 95% of all corners, not just rookies, but all corners in the league so far. So 6 weeks in, you stand back and you say what about your experience so far?
I'm not going to lie to you. All those numbers don't really mean nothing to me at the end of the day, because, that all sounds good, but, I want to win and I want to be the best. If I'm not the number one, then, hey, it doesn't really mean anything to me right now. So, at the end of the day, I just got to keep getting better. And I know I have a lot more to improve on, and I've been doing some good things, but that doesn't do too much for me. I don't really pay attention to that stuff too much.
Jalen, when we were getting ready for the interview and I was doing some research and background, I pulled up your picture on ESPN.com from your basketball recruiting days, your high school days, and possibility of you playing basketball. Give us the scouting report on Jalen Johnson's basketball game.
Scouting report. Dang, that was a minute ago. Honestly, I would probably say I was probably like a Rondo. That would probably be my closest comparison. I was more of the leader, the facilitator, set people up, play defense, and then score when I had to or when I was open. I wasn't no electrifying scorer. I wasn't no slasher dunking on people. That wasn't my game. But, I mean, I was a solid athlete. I was a solid player.
Or did you have the playoff Rondo type game where you could elevate your game with the bigger the moment?
Oh, for sure. I feel like that's just who I am as a person, as a player. I mean, regardless of the sport.
How is life as an NFL player now inside a pandemic where you guys really have to be disciplined and you really can't go out and do a whole lot right now?
I mean, people may not like it, but I mean, I feel like it's beneficial because, I mean, at the end of the day, you have no choice but to focus. And I feel like if you can't focus in the pandemic and where you're not able to go out, then, I mean, I feel like it's not for you. So, I mean, for me, it's just about having the right focus and not really getting distracted.
And it seems like your entire team, led by Coach Nagy, has been a very disciplined, very focused team so far as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's something that we talk about every day, just being consistent in those areas, just being disciplined and just always having that hunger to be better. And sacrificing things as well. So, I mean, we're not like everybody else just trying to go out and just trying to have fun. We actually want to win, and we know what we have to give up to be able to do that.
Well, Jalen, I know Bears fans love having you here. You've been great so far. Keep up the great work, and don't be a stranger, okay?
Thank you, Jalen.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
You go, Jalen Johnson. Like you said, the 50th overall pick. And if you look at the Pro Football Focus rankings, he is rated towards the top as far as all corners are concerned, up passes and everything like that.
And understand as well, because Kyle Fuller's on the other side, he's going to attract a lot of attention from opposing quarterbacks and opposing offensive coordinators.
Was that a pass interference? I didn't want to get him in trouble, pass interference or not, on that play.
I thought it was a veteran move because he had the receiver's arm pinned. Like, you know me as a receiver, I'm going to say, yeah, definitely, you impeded the receiver's ability to catch the football. So, yeah, it was a pass interference call. But it was a veteran move by him, and one that, in a lot of instances, it's not going to get flagged. Did you see the pass interference miss from last night? With, I think it was CeeDee Lamb who ran an in route and completely shook the corner.
But
and
it
then
was
the
a big turning
tackled
point, right?
Him and then intercepted the ball. I mean, it was one of the most egregious misses I've seen in the entire early part of the NFL season.
While they were still in the game, too. I mean, they weren't in it for long either. I mean, with all the fumbles, and I want to talk about the Cowboys in the NFC East later.
It goes back also to the conversation we had yesterday about Kyle Fuller's hit and what Matt Nagy said. He was like, listen, he was making a football play. And it's a very difficult spot to be in these days to be a defensive player in the National Football League because of all of the different rules changes that favor the offensive players. You got to play the game. You got to play it aggressively and clean the way that Kyle Fuller does. You just know there are going to be moments that even when you're playing the game clean and fair, the rules are written in such a way that, unfortunately, you're going to get flagged every now and again.
312-332-3776 if you want to join the Bears conversation. I do want to get into the NFL playoff thing, and I think it's an old-timey rule, and I want to hear your thoughts on that. But coming up next, I believe we're up to Sweet 16. Who is the 16th best player of the last 50 years in Bears history? And today's a good one, and good considering what we've been talking a lot about. We'll tell you who that is next.
This hour is brought to you by your Chicagoland Acura dealers. Visit any of the 11 Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers today, or learn more about the Acura MDX at ChicagoAcuraDealers.com.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the Waddle and Sylvie Show presents the countdown of the 20 greatest Chicago Bears players of the last 50 years.
Dick Butkus was pretty scary, huh?
Here he is, galloping gale, carrying the mail.
The best is yet to come, it really is.
Mike Ditka's NFC champions were as bold on offense as they were on defense in this title game. As McMahon rifled a deep pass from his own end zone.
Quick pitch to Walter, looking for the record, cuts back, he's got it!
Pass is intercepted by that guy, Brian Urlacher.
Hester's gonna take it all the way for a touchdown!
Presented by Great Clips.
Mom always said, have a heart. Visit any Great Clips location in Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana. Support the local Ronald McDonald House. Buy a heart. Get a coupon for your next haircut. Give families the comfort and care that the local Ronald McDonald House provide. Donate today. Great Clips. It's going to be great. All salons are independently owned and operated. Contact your local salon for specific safety measures.
The countdown continues with the 16th greatest Bears player of the last 50 years.
Go Bears!
I like this list because it is the last 50 years. It's more modern. We don't get bogged down. Not that the history is bad to recap, but with players that nobody has ever seen or known about. To recap, as we're up to 16, number 20 was a tie. Our votes had a tie. So it was Cutler and Marshall. They were number 20. Otis Wilson was number 19. Wilbur Marshall was number 18.
Bear defense.
And Doug Buffone
defense Bears.
Was number 17. And so that brings us up to number 16, and I think it's a good one.
Boy, could I use some Matt Forte in this offense right now?
Yes. We put Matt Forte as the 16th greatest Bear of the last 50 years.
How about in 8 seasons with the Chicago Bears, he ran for 1,238 yards, 929, 1,069, 997, 1,094, 1,339, 1,038, and 898 in 13 games. Like, he averaged...
He caught the ball. He set the record for most receptions.
He averaged more than 1,000 yards a season when he was with the Bears. And you're 100% correct. As a Bear, he had 487 receptions. As a Bear, he had 554 total. Remember, he played 2 years with the Jets.
Right.
But had 554 career receptions, including that year where he had 102 in 2000.
Where does that rank? That's got to rank him pretty high on the Bears list, I would imagine. Because of the history of wide receivers,
totally
too.
Top five?
As far as receptions go?
I think so.
Let me look at that.
I would 500. And Johnny Morris. Matt Forte comes in at 7.
7. So yeah. You were close.
I thought
he's a top 10 in receiving. And as far as rushing, he's on very high in that leaderboard, too. I believe maybe number 2.
Okay, so these are the 6 guys in front of him as a receiver. That had his more reception. Well, that's yards. In total receptions, Matt Forte ranks 2nd. So Matt Forte, only Walter Payton has more career receptions.
And then only Walter Payton has more rushing yards than Matt Forte.
So Matt Forte is the 2nd leading receiver in terms of catches in Chicago Bear history behind Walter Payton by only 5. Walter had 492, Matt had 487, and he was 7th in yards, which is amazing as well because he's a back. Like, Johnny Morris is 1 in yards, Harlan Hill, Alshon Jeffrey, Walter was 4th, Ditka, Conway, and then Forte. So to be a running back and be 7th all-time in yards with 4,116 yards.
Yeah, he was a do-it-all back, and he was very consistent.
Yeah.
And Matt Forte earns the number 16 spot on the all-time list.
Very deserving.
Let me see if you guys could guess. Maybe you have the rushing list up there. But, like, the top 5 isn't a big surprise. It's Walter Payton,
yep.
Matt Forte, Neil Anderson, Rick Caceres, and Gale Sayers are your top 5 rushers in Bears franchise history. Do you know who 6 is?
Thomas Jones?
Yes, good for you. Well, that was really, I don't know how appreciate you pulled that.
Wow, Thomas Jones is a hell of a player.
No, I know that, but remember, he was only here from 04 to 06.
This is our problem, Sylvie, outside of like a handful of guys offensively.
Yes, right.
We're average.
Yes.
Well, Sylvie, go to number 7 because it's an even more polarizing
It's crazy.
Person.
Jordan Howard.
Yeah.
Jordan Howard.
Seven. You know, Jordan
101,
Howard.
101 years of Bears seven. Football, and Jordan Howard is seven.
And you know, Jordan Howard, I think, has been a healthy scratch the last couple of weeks in Miami, right?
Yeah, that's not.
And how many people
surprise.
Screaming at us that we don't know running backs because we didn't value him enough?
He's a guy. Look, a even guy. Ezekiel Elliott last night, okay? A running back cannot carry you in the league anymore unless, I mean, it's more, to me, the way I would sum it up. You tell me if I'm wrong. Running backs don't carry football teams anymore. Running games do.
I think that's
or
very
can.
Well said. Yes.
That it has to be this collaborative effort between the line, the back, and the play call.
Who was Sunday night? Outside, we know, I mean, the Rams ran. Who was the running back for the Rams? That was it Henderson? Is that
yes.
his name?
Yeah, uh-huh.
He was very, very good. But do you know who on the other side of the field that was the most impressive runner? I mean, because Mostert got hurt.
Hurt, yeah.
To me, it was Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
Like, he's a receiver.
It's a running game.
Yes.
Right.
That's
Ezekiel
why
Elliott will not be able to carry the Cowboys.
That's why I like your point, is it's not just the back. It's the system. It's most importantly the offensive line, which I think we're figuring out vividly right now. But you're right. You can plug and play. Listen, Matt Forte was a hell of a player. And if you take someone and put him in Matt's place, Matt's going to be a better player. But when you talk about the average running back, you can plug and play with guys.
Yeah, 312-332-3776 if you want to talk Bears offense or about our list. It's been a very, very hot topic on how they're going to flip the switch here and get better as the games go on, the harder these games get. These next four are really, really good games. Plus, Stan Bowman reacted with our own Pat Boyle on the rebuild.
And by the way, Stan
still has a job. I want to play you some of that sound coming up.
We need caller 20 right now as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right, for the gift card to Great Clips.
Yeah.
Thank you to our great partners at Great Clips. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Caller number 20 wins the $50 gift card right now to Great Clips, 332-3776. We're back in 2 short minutes.